Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, hey, it's Wednesday. You know, a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks here in the studio. The big guy, the freakishly tall Todd Friel, is again out on campus at Kennesaw State University today, wandering around. I think he's been out there for about an hour or so now, looking for students to talk to and share Christ with. And one thing he's also been doing is trying to get some solid answers about the alarming rate, the increased rate of suicide among college-aged kids. So let's check in with the team now. I think they're ready to go. Todd, you're on, man.
Let's go to Eritrea via Germany and, well, Kennesaw State University. Your name is Feven and you're originally from?
Germany.
But your parents are from?
Eritrea.
Okay, there's a story here. And I'd like to do this interview in German, but I'm not sure you could keep up.
Sure, we can.
You speak German way better than I do. All right, here's what we want to talk to you about today, Feven. On campuses around America, Western civilization, the suicide rate is higher than it's ever been. Now, you've been in the country for 5 years. You're on the campus. Why do you think it might be that people your age are more inclined to take their own lives than ever before?
I mean, with the circumstances we're all in right now, I do believe it's the coronavirus. People are more at home, isolated. They're not socializing anymore. So I really think students struggle with that, but also with the stress of the school load, because everything is now virtually.
You know what? I think that sociologists agree with that, because the suicide rate has actually gone up during COVID. But even before COVID, the numbers were way higher than they used to be. So isolationism, stress, are there any other factors prior to COVID that you think might contribute to the suicide level?
Yeah, I think if you put your identity into school, if you think that school is your life, and that if you don't get your good grades, if you don't accomplish your degree, that can do a lot on your character. If they don't have anything besides school, and mostly students put all their effort into school, then I think that can cause them to think about what's their life, what's the purpose of living.
I think that's extremely perceptive. I think that's pretty poignant. Any other things?
Maybe family. It goes back to the stress factors. If they already come from a broken family, if they like have to work two jobs, if they have a child or anything, and they see school as an escape of having a better life for their family or for themselves. It always depends on the person, how they view stress. You know, some people are more calm in situation and just don't see it as like a major thing, you know? And some people are very letting themselves define from what is going on around them. I don't know if that makes sense.
So. No, actually you are. So let me ask you, if I might. You talked about having purpose and identity, not in school. So on a personal level, where do you find your identity and what's your purpose?
My religion. I believe in God, and that's where, like, I believe that my identity is in Christ, and that's why I can cope with that. Before, I was an agnostic. I believed in a higher power, but I didn't believe in Jesus and all the Bible. Before that, I have to admit, I was also very depressed and also had thoughts of, does my life make any sense? I put all my identity into school. I thought school is everything, and if I don't pass my class, if I don't have my degree, I thought, what else do I have good in my life? So that's why.
That's fascinating to me. Here's another component that I think is an issue for a lot of students on campus. You tell me if you agree. When they leave home, where perhaps their parents have encouraged them to behave a certain way, they have freedom here, nobody's watching, and they probably do things that violate the values that they were raised with. And they have no way of dealing with guilt and shame. And that can cause a person to just feel miserable because they have a nagging sense of guilt or I've disappointed my parents, I've disappointed myself, and they just don't know what to do with it. Your thoughts?
I agree with that because I have another friend who I met this semester. Her best friend committed suicide because of that. She told me that he committed suicide because of from an Indian culture. School is very important, and he felt like he dishonored his family, that he wasn't as good as he was supposed to be, and shame, guilt, all that, and no one knew he was keeping his feelings and thoughts. And that's one issue too. If you don't speak about it, and if you just like, it's eating your life, if you don't talk about it, because there's a lot of people who can identify. And maybe people can help you with your thoughts, So,
based on your experience, there are a lot of people who do stuff it inside. And then ultimately it's revealed when they do something drastic. Do you think that there is any way to discern if somebody is struggling to that degree just by observing their behavior?
That's very difficult. I think if you have a relationship with that person, maybe you can see a change of behavior, but if there's some just strangers on campus, I wouldn't know.
If a parent has a child, how might they be able to get that information out of their child?
I guess with communication, just being there for the child. You can't expect anything if you just like the authority person and just like, you got to go to school, got to do that. But if you really give them a side of like, I'm your friend too, and just spend time with your child, I guess.
You are a professing Christian, okay? So let's say I sat down next to you and I said, I have been watching you and there's something about you that I find very intriguing. You look like you've got your life together. You look like you're calm and settled. I'm very interested in your religion because I think that I might want to become whatever religion you are. Why would you encourage me to become a Christian too?
Depending on what you exactly ask me, that would jumpstart the conversation. I would just ask that person, have you ever felt that void inside of you that you can see there's celebrities and successful people who have money, they have everything, but they still have no happiness. They still complain of they don't have what that makes gives them their peace inside. So I would say maybe that void that you're feeling is maybe because you're looking for Jesus and for God. And if you want, I could invite you to church. You can come and just see for yourself.
So what if I said, though, I do feel pretty settled inside. I'm good, I'm steady, and I feel like I do have purpose. So is there anything else that your religion would offer me?
I can't force anyone. I think God can only change hearts. I mean, you have a free will, I have a free will. So I do what I would do is I would offer you my friendship. If that person is struggling with suicide and thinks still he's, I have a purpose, I'm good, then I would still show love and I would be there for him. And I think that will make a difference too, of him thinking, oh, at least I have someone I can talk to or relate to, or, I'm not alone. I would make him understand, you're not alone, I'm here.
All right, could I just ask one question? I happen to be a Christian, so I am intrigued. Because when I said that I don't need purpose, I don't have any issues in my life, is there anything else Christianity would offer? I am curious why you didn't say, yeah, it offers forgiveness of sins and it offers reconciliation with God. Isn't that really the unique offering of Christianity and really the central feature and the most important issue?
Yeah, you're completely right. I didn't say that because I mean, obviously, I'm also a little nervous interview. But yeah, obviously, that's the one thing that draw me to God. I mean, I was in Germany, and Germany, it's really dry. I mean, there's religion, Protestant, Catholic, but people don't really have a relationship. So I grew up being agnostic because of all the science and all how I grew up in Germany. But I always knew there was a God, like a higher power, because my mom is Orthodox. But I never identified myself with Orthodox. But when I came here, I was on my own. I was in a different country. This was very challenging. I was trying to figure out myself, trying to find my identity and all that. And I decided to go to to a church. And starting going there, it definitely was difficult because of my mindset that I had from Germany and what I thought about God. But at the end of the day, there was a time that I said, okay, I'm going to believe in Christ. And that changed me, and it changed me as a person.
Thank you very much. That was great. You did well. Thank you.
Whoa. She did do well, Todd. That was Feven, again, a Christian who could actually articulate her Christianity. That seems to be as rare these days as actually finding a Christian on a secular college campus. Well, Todd does have some more witnessing to do. We are nowhere close to being finished today. However, we are going to take a quick break right this moment, and we'll be back real quick. You're listening to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because gospel partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at FortisPlus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want. The Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back. It is a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd and the rest of the team are out on campus at Kennesaw State University talking with students about Christ, obviously, but also the increased suicide rate among young people. So let's get back out to campus now. Todd, you there?
This is Jacob. And Jacob, I was going to ask you about this, but I've got to ask you a different question first because you told me your name is a Bible name.
That it is.
What Bible character is Jacob and what's the story about?
Well, it is Jacob, just a character in the Bible, Jacob's ladder. Now, I really couldn't do it justice telling you the story of it. It's been a while since I read that far back in the Bible. So I wouldn't want to say anything wrong about it.
And you're wearing a cross, which you tucked away, but what is the symbolism of that piece of jewelry?
It just shows that I'm a Christian and I'm devoted enough to my faith to wear a cross around my head.
All right, so let's say I came up to you and I said, Jacob, I saw a cross around your neck. I'm interested in becoming a Christian. What would you tell me I need to know or do to become a Christian like you?
It's not like you don't necessarily have to go to church or anything to become a Christian. Just look into the faith. There's about a million different videos on YouTube, sermons, educational videos. You can read the Bible. I wouldn't say that's the best way to get into it. It's a pretty long read. But I
don't have video access. I got access to you. So I'm asking you to tell me, what should I do to become a Christian?
If you're looking for help from me, I have a couple favorite Bible verses and passages. I can share what a little knowledge I know and try to direct you other people.
Hit me. Go.
Hit you with
your favorite Bible passages.
My favorite Bible passage. I'll
get you started. I'll get you started. I know you're going to know this one. For God so loved the world. Do you know that one?
I couldn't finish it.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It's the one they put up at football games, right? Okay. What is the meaning of that passage?
Say it one more time to me.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
It means that he cared so much about us, he sent down his only son to die on the cross so that we could, we'd live our lives on here on earth. But if we believe in him, we believe in Christ, that there will be a life after for us with him.
There you go. Now you're getting warmed up. That's it. All right. So why is that important to do? What happens if I don't believe in Jesus?
Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, then what I think is, in the afterlife, just it's an existence without God. You don't want to be with God, so you're not going to be with God.
Will I be with my buddies?
Probably not. It depends. Your buddies believe in God, because they'll be up in heaven.
So why should I want to be with God in heaven?
It's a personal choice. It sounds pretty good to me. I think it's right. And
better in heaven than to be in hell.
I would hope so.
So tell me, though, if God is loving and God is kind, why does he send people to hell?
Well, I think it's more of, those people have rejected God throughout their lives, and he's not going to force himself upon them.
Let me try one out on you. You tell me what you think about this. Let's say that God is totally holy, righteous, moral, upright in everything. And he created people in his own image, and we have gone astray. So we look with lust, we lie, we cheat, we dishonor our parents, we blaspheme God's name. In other words, we break his laws. So if God's laws are written in our consciences, we violate his laws, and just like a judge who is sworn to uphold the law, he must punish guilty law breakers. So the question is, are you, are I, are all of these people out here at the university guilty lawbreakers? Would you say yes or no?
I think there's about a 0% chance that no, that everyone doesn't sin. It's just a matter of, do you repent for your sins? Because God will forgive you. And I mean, do you believe it's a sin too? I mean,
so why would God forgive guilty criminals?
Because I think he believes that pretty much everyone is worth saving, and he'll try. And
let me try this, though. Let's say a judge had a guilty criminal in front of him, standing before the bench. And instead of finding that person guilty and sending them to jail, he says, I think you're worth forgiving. And he just lets them go. Would that be just? Would that be right?
See, that's just a whole different scenario, I think, in that, you know, here on Earth, with our moral standards, you know, some of that align with the Bible and those standards, and but God's bigger than just our laws on Earth. So
let me try to reason with you for a second. If God just dismissed everybody's court case, that would actually make him a corrupt judge. That would make him unrighteous, because a judge is sworn to uphold justice. And when we turn a blind eye to a criminal act, that itself is a criminal act. And God wouldn't do that. But imagine this, Jacob. Let's just say we're in an earthly courtroom. Guilty criminal is standing there with a debt to society. And the judge is about to have him pay his fine by going to jail. But somebody steps into the courtroom and says, Your Honor, I love that man, and I'm willing to pay that man's fine. And if that person pays the fine of the guilty criminal, then the judge can let the criminal go because justice has been satisfied. Correct? Same thing is true with God. God has to punish lawbreakers. He has to, because he's just. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth and he died on a cross because he was paying the fine for sinners. He was receiving the wrath of the Father upon himself to pay the debt of sinners like you and me. That way, God can legally dismiss our court case because it has been paid for us. Because if there isn't a payment for our crimes, then God would be unjust, but he's just. And this way, to be seen as an amazingly kind God, he's the one who pays our fine for us. And that's how we can be forgiven. What do you think of that explanation?
Makes some sense, yeah. I mean,
otherwise, why would Jesus die?
No, that's exactly what he said.
He gave his only begotten Son because Jesus came on a rescue mission to save people like you and me, because we can't save ourselves. We can't pay our own debt. We can't satisfy justice, but he can, and he did. But now here's the big question, Jacob. How does somebody like you or me or anybody else here on this campus, how do we get our fine paid? How does that transaction take place? What must I do to receive that forgiveness from God? What would you say?
Well, I think is first you need to repent. You need to feel bad for what you did. You have to know it's wrong. If you ask for forgiveness but you don't feel it's wrong, or you still would have done it, or I don't think you get it. You also have to, you can't just stay being the same person. You have to change.
So yeah, repenting. You turn from your sins, and the Bible says you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You don't just admit, yeah, I think he existed, he walked the earth, he was a good teacher. No, you trust him as if your life depended on it, because it does. All right, here's something Jesus said. Here's another Bible verse for you. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So in order to inherit God's kingdom, you have to be born again. What does that mean, to be born again, Jacob?
Born again. I've always thought about the sense and people saying like they're born again Christians, stuff like that, and I think it's more we try not to choose, like you can't choose when to be and when to not to be Christian, follow it, and you have to do it always and try to always follow God in a sense, and I guarantee you all of us, we haven't always been that way, and we always have to reach a point where you say, am I going to commit to that, because like I believe it, you know, God's real, and if he is, then why shouldn't he be number one priority on that list?
So. I agree with that, but the term itself, born again, indicates that there's been a death, because you've got to be born again. Now, Jesus said it's really important, because if you're not born again, you don't go to heaven. So what do you suppose he was getting at when he said you've got to be born again? Specifically, something has to take place here for those words to even make sense. Do you know what he was getting at?
Okay, stop. Hold it just a second before Jacob answers that question. It's a big question. Let's step away. We've got to take a break anyway. So let's give Jacob a little bit of time to ponder his answer to that question. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes and return to Todd and Jacob. You're listening to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.